Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At it on a Tuesday here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well with you. Coming up in a little bit, Danan Hughes. He'll join the show. And then at 9 o'clock, Josh Briscoe joins us as well. You can always hear Josh Briscoe pre and post, and you can hear Danan Hughes pre.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And post and during the game.
That's right.
He is the color commentator with Mitch Holtis and Josh Klingler on the Chiefs Radio Network.
My mother sent me a text last night and she goes, would you please have Josh do this on the next game? And it was Aaron Glenn running down the sidelines and dancing. And so I sent it to Josh. I said, my mother would like you to do this, you know, in the next game. And he goes, probably not going to happen.
And then cue it up to, what is it, Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yeah, that was the one.
Oh, so good. Do you remember?
We didn't talk enough about Aaron Glenn's run last night. The best part about that thing is he's dancing and celebrating. Minute 26 later, they lose. Like a minute 26 anymore in the NFL, guys, you give the ball back to somebody with the kickers the way that the kickers are right now, you better have a 4-point lead and you better not play prevent defense. A minute 26 is an eternity anymore in the NFL and giving guys an opportunity. What did we see last night? Like inside 2 minutes, how many possession changes were there in the first half? It felt like 20 inside the 2 minute mark of the first half last night, right? So you've got to do a better job of, you know, staying on the field at one point in time, but also getting the other team off the field. A minute 26 to go. You're not celebrating a win in the NFL yet.
It ain't over till it's over. So interesting season so far for the Chiefs when it comes from a fan base, because I thought a lot of people were a little bit more. And again, I say a lot of people, that's vague. I think that most people were happy with the win, obviously, last week. But it was kind of interesting because they lose to Philadelphia. And, you know, you kind of go back like, this team will be fine. I know they're 0-2. Travis Kelce's, you know, drop pass in the end zone and a missed field goal. We left 10 points on the board. Should have done this. I think they'll be all right. And then they beat the Giants, and a lot of people are like, man, this team's got a lot of problems. And you're like, they won 22-9.
By two touchdowns.
They won 22-9. And it's like, where I thought the attitude would be, because, I mean, I wasn't satisfied with that win. There was a lot of things that could have been fixed. The team right now is a piece of Swiss cheese. It's good. It does it for you. It supplies what you need for the sandwich, but there are holes in it, and it stinks. And that's where the Chiefs are at right now. There are holes that stink out loud. We talked about the offensive line. We've talked about the running game. We've talked about certain things as well that are just not there. And, you know, you kind of get the same sort of feel. You go out and do stuff in local places as well, whether it be the J, whether it be Hy-Vee, wherever it may be, and people come up to you and talk about it. And I think you get the same sort of back and forth from different perspectives as well.
Yeah, it was just different being out in the wild yesterday versus seeing what, you know, the text line or social media or stuff like that says. I think sometimes you go out in the wild and you talk to the people and you get a better feel for what's really going on, except for, you know, some people venting at on X or wherever the case may be. I think you get a better perspective of people, because walking around yesterday, the amount of people that I ran into that were excited about this win pales in comparison to what you see on social media. I was talking to my man Jerry at the J. He goes, "We got to win. Thank goodness, man. Thank goodness we got to win." I'm like, "Yeah, that's all that matters, right?" I talked to my man Justin at the J. He goes, "I don't effing care how we won. A win is all that matters. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if we win." Another guy, Froman from Hy-Vee. You've seen him over there, 135th in Antioch. You know Froman down there at Hy-Vee, one of the great Chiefs fans of all time. KJ, he says to me yesterday, I'm there looking at the fish. He goes, "Hey, I don't care if we win 1-0. We won. That's all that matters, is that we won." And then on my text thread with my college buddies, they're like, "We just needed a win. Glad we got it. Move on." And then I'm talking and or listening to a WFAN yesterday out of New York, and Boomer Esiason comes on the air and starts the show. "The Giants just got their ass kicked by the Chiefs. And we're here yesterday complaining about this team that won by two touchdowns," right? And then you get out into the wild and you hear it. It's almost like parenting for me, right? We're very, very hard on our children, right? We want the best for them. We expect the best for them. We push them to be the best, right? We're very rigid when it comes to our own children. We want them to see success. We want them to realize success. We're hard on them to get success. Even though we realize, you know what, A's and B's are pretty good. A pluses are probably out of the equation for all of this. I think that's kind of where we are right now with this football team. Are they an A-plus football team? No. Maybe Buffalo is, but again, they gave up 40 to a Ravens team that can't get out of their own way right now. That looks a little bit different. But I think right now we're just very, 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 very critical of our team from a radio perspective, from a social media perspective, that when you get outside, there were a lot of really happy people yesterday that the Chiefs finally got a win and they were excited about it. And they were just really happy that this team got a win. And that's kind of where I am with this one right now. You can't take wins for granted in the NFL, right? You just can't, especially 13-point wins. That's a 2-touchdown victory over the New York Giants. Not many teams are winning by that kind of margin in this day and age of the NFL. And was it a perfect performance? No. Did they pass? Did they get their work done? Did they check all the boxes that you needed to get the victory that day? Yes. Is there room for improvement? You bet there's room for improvement, but you also have to continue to think about that big prize. That's a win in the NFL. Those are hard to come by, as we've seen right here in Kansas City this year and also elsewhere, right? Look at Baltimore. They're probably having the same conversations and whatnot about their football team right now. They've got to try to figure it out. So we are very critical of our team. And then you realize that, you know what? We're still a pretty damn good football team. And people were really happy yesterday and relieved that we got that win. And now it's on the Baltimore. Let's see what we can do. Get back to 500. And the vibe yesterday was just really good, I thought, from people in town.
There are holes in this team. Obviously, you can be critical of them if you want, or you can also praise it. But 8 games within the second week or third week of the season, 8 games total, had double-digit victories in week 3 for the NFL. Flashback questions.
That's about half.
Yep. Flashback questions, right? Like, we look at the season where you would maybe change things from the past. Let's play flashback with Brett Veach. Would you have rather drafted a running back, or would you have rather stuck with Norman Lott and Gelati?
Well, I'm going to stick with what I got because I don't know what I have right now. So I really can't make a full-time decision on that. If Gelati and Lott become these guys that are like unbelievable world beaters, like a Chris Jones light along the defensive line, I'm happy with those guys. I don't know. I don't have enough information right now to go on that one.
Over one of those guys? Yeah, not both of them. Yeah, but it's tough to choose which one, because you said Bob,
I don't know. Yeah,
right now I'd go, yeah, over Gelati. Norman Lott looks like he could be a real, real player. But yeah, I'll go. Yeah, and that's really, and the reason I wrote that those two guys specifically, Bob, is that's the second and third round picks for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. And that was really the honey hole for the running back spot.
Right.
So yeah, I'd go yes. Yep. I'd say yes over
but
Gelati.
If you're also looking to flip your script where they have over the last couple of years, and that's be a defensive-minded football team, if you didn't draft those guys on defense, who's on your defensive line this year, right? I mean, you had to go back and get – why did we get Derek Nnadi again? He stinks. Yep. And you know, he's 2 years, you know, behind – of when he was actually really good. But you got to let these young guys play. So I don't know what we have in these. I don't think it's correct to make a decision on whether or not they made a wrong draft pick three games into a season when we really haven't gotten enough body of work from those guys. I'd like to see more.
In my opinion, I think this exercise is less about Norman Lott or Gelati and saying they're bad or good and more about what else this team needs and if it's more than that.
Yeah, and maybe my the running opinion. Back that they wanted wasn't there and they weren't going to reach for a running back. You know, we won't know if any of these running backs that were drafted second, third, fourth round are going to be, we're 3 weeks into the season. We don't know if anybody missed or hit on draft picks other than Shedeur Sanders.
One more before we go to break. Would you have paid McDuffie or would you have paid Trey Smith?
Probably McDuffie.
Me too. For sure.
Okay. We'll have a couple more a little bit later in the
show.
Doesn't
mean they can't pay McDuffie though.
Right. Yeah. And we'll do that a little bit later. We've got a couple more on there to go flashback style, Brett Veach edition. But coming up next, it is the former wide receiver, Danon Hughes, and color commentator for the Chiefs Radio Network. He joins us next, plus One Word with Mac Morey here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karlaftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. You hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danon Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, it's Tuesday, 7:20-ish, 7:19. Danon Hughes will join us now as he is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of beers. Danon, how are you on this? Well, kind of a soaked, drenched Tuesday morning, but cleanse the hate and bring on the beautiful, right?
Yes, good morning. I am definitely doing okay. I'm doing better than I did last week and the week before because we got a win. So all is good.
And Iowa put up 38 points on Friday night. How about
in
that?
One game?
Yes. How about those Buckeyes, man?
We are an offensive juggernaut. What are you talking about?
Wow. I mean, 38 points in one game is magical.
Hey, man, when you walk out of this building in Kansas going, man, that under a 41.5 is a lock, and then you see that Iowa put up 38 themselves, you're humbled quick. Let's get into what that game was on Sunday night. I'll be honest, a piss-poor first half, but then in the second half, it seemed like this team kind of turned and clicked into something that maybe felt a little more comfortable. What did you notice from the first half to the second half?
I just noticed that this team is still trying to figure out who they are, figure out their identity. They keep themselves in the games, and we should be kind of comfortable. I don't know if comfortable is the right word. I should say we should be used to this based on the close games that we were able to win last year and get to the promised land like we did. So, I mean, if that's what this team is going to be, a version of last year's team that got to the Super Bowl, that, you know, flirted with an undefeated season for a large part of it, then so be it. Yeah, we have to get our heart medicine together and, you know, buckle up for the whole season. But they figured out a way to win. And I've said it for these last couple of weeks, take the top two receivers off of any team in the NFL, and they'd probably be 0-3 or 1-2, and that's where we are. So, you know, it's still early in the season. I'm glad they were able to grind out a win. We got a somewhat of a gauntlet of teams that, you know, in our schedule coming up. You talk about going to Jacksonville on Monday night, but Baltimore and then, you know, Buffalo down the road. So we got to figure things out. But a win is a win, and I'll take it every day of the week.
Yeah, that's where I am. The older I get, I just care about winning games, right? You can leave your style points and all that on the cutting room floor and just give me a victory and find a way to get it done. And they did that, and they did it with Tyquan Thornton. I'm excited to watch him as wide receiver number three when we get Rice and Worthy back. Now, all of a sudden, Danon, you got three wide receivers that could be pretty special in this offense.
Yeah, you know what? I am very impressed with Tyquan and – first of all, I love guys that, you know, the underdogs, the, you know, maybe supposed to be the number five, number six receiver, you know, coming into the season, if everybody's healthy, I don't know if we would see much of him on the field, and then taking advantage of his opportunities. I mean, we've seen this throughout the course of history. You can go back to guys like, you know, even Mark Boerichter and other guys that were the number four, number five receivers, and then they make big plays for us. So I just love that story. You know, part of it is kind of what my career was, mm-hmm. not necessarily with his speed, but just a guy that maybe you just don't know what you're going to get from him. You maybe typecast him into something and then he becomes something else. And I think that's great. I love the fact that Andy Reid has embraced it, and even more so the confidence shown by Patrick Mahomes towards him is very similar to the confidence that we've seen with Patrick and Travis, where I'm going to you, I believe in you, okay, you didn't make that play, but I'm going right back to you, and I'm going to give you another opportunity. And I feel like that's a testament to leadership. I think that's something that galvanizes a team in the locker room, because guys know, okay, he's not the first-round pick, he's not Xavier Worthy, he's not Rashee Rice, but darn it, he's good. And hopefully they get him the ball, and then all of a sudden, guess what? They're getting him the ball, and they're getting him the ball again, and he's getting more plays on the field. So, you know, regardless of what the depth chart says, regardless of what, you know, who's the bright, shiny coin as far as draft picks and part of game plans, the fact that he's maximizing his opportunities and he's garnering the confidence of Matt Nagy, Andy Reid, and most importantly, Patrick Mahomes, I love it.
Danon, you were on a team that had a couple of superstars and, you know, some greats in the NFL, Marcus Allen and Joe Montana. I bring this up because this is now a third week in a row where there's been some sort of like Travis Kelce, not necessarily a blow up, but kind of this week was a little bit more, you know, characterized more than others. When you see it, you know, maybe once or twice from like a Joe or a Marcus. And it's like, you know, once every, you know, great while, you're kind of like, all right, that guy's pissed. He's the leader of this team. We should probably pay attention. It's now 3 weeks in a row. We've seen Travis Kelce kind of get out of his character and kind of show a lot of emotion. I'd like to know what your opinion is on that. And then where you stand, like when it comes from a team aspect of seeing that week after week after week so far this season.
So for me as a player, I will say this. I was never the guy that was the rah-rah guy, the scream and yell guy, whether it was in high school, college, or definitely not the pros. But I understood that everybody has their own ways to tackle adversity. They have their own ways to get themselves fired up, have their own ways to stay engaged in a game. Yeah, you know, I've been on the field with Derek Thomas and the helmets being slammed. I've been on the field with Dale Carter and his crazy ways, and yet those guys were all pro, and they figured things out, and they made big plays. The one thing that always comes to my mind whenever I played with a guy like that, or whenever I watch guys like that, is what's your effort saying? I know what your mouth is saying. I know what your abilities can say. Obviously, part of the game plan and part of, you know, practices and I know what the play calling is saying, and I see what the defense is doing, or I see what the offense is doing to try to stop you and your superstardom on the field. But what's your effort saying? Because as a player, and even going back to those blue collar kind of guys, because most of the guys on the team are those blue collar guys, even though they're high paid, Creed Humphrey, the Trey Smiths, these guys, those are blue collar guys that are on the field. They just grind. They're going to be the dirtiest. They're going to be the sweatiest. They're going to be, you know, they're going to have the most bandages when they get on the plane back to Kansas City. But when you're in that meeting room, and I know what antics that you displayed on the sideline, whether you were screaming at other teammates, whether you were part of that rally before the game where everybody's huddled up around you and you're screaming and, you know, getting everybody hyped up. Is that translating to your efforts on the field? Mm-hmm. That's, to me, what speaks volumes about leadership. Because anybody can, like, I was a captain for 4 years. I went out for the coin toss. Did that make me a leader? I don't know. I would like to think that my effort and what I brought to the field made me one of the leaders on the team. But from being that guy with the voice and then being the guy with the voice with the stardom and the guy with the voice and the stardom and the money and the accolades, you got to be also supporting that with your effort. And that's what I watch on film. That's what I watch from the booth is, okay, yeah, somebody's going to start yelling. Somebody's going to get in someone's face. That's all part of football. It's all part of your competitive juices, whether it's coaches and players, whether it's players and players. All of that's part of it. I get it. But then what did you do the next play? What did you do the next series? Did you chase somebody down from behind on the defensive side? Did you get that extra block on the sideline when it was necessary? That's what I think translates. And if it doesn't, and this is what we got to be careful about, if it doesn't, then that's when you start losing the locker room. That's when guys start tuning you out as that so-called leader. So that's why I'm hoping that these guys that are fired up, that get in each other's face, that are, you know, the so-called leaders of the team, are recognizing that, hey, my voice and chest bumping with Andy Reid and getting in the face of the coordinators and each other, that's only going to go but so far. Because everybody's going to watch that film on Monday and wonder, okay, well, you know, what did you do on that run play that was away from you? What did you do when you didn't keep contain on the quarterback? Or, you know, did you chase down somebody? Did you drive somebody into the ground and pancake block them when it wasn't your play? Like, what else was happening? So I think that those are the things that are going to keep my attention going forward, because otherwise – The screaming and yelling becomes hollow.
Are you seeing that effort from Travis Kelce from where you are in this from the booth or from the practices or all the 22 games you watch?
I see some of it, but again, it's one of those deals where the louder you are vocally, the more I need to see it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know that it's one of those deals, because now, you know, it gets tiresome. When you only thing you do is you hear it. I'm not saying this to disparage those guys. I do believe they are true leaders. I do believe that in throughout their careers they've exemplified leadership on the field as playmakers. But now we're in uncharted territory at 1-2, and we're seeing a trend where the voices are getting louder on the sidelines. So guess what? When the voices get louder, my eyes get wider. As a player, and my eyes are going to be now looking, okay, is this guy just talking the talk or is he walking the walk? Can I follow him, you know, into the fire because he's, you know, driving people down the field. He's taking his double teams and running his full routes so that I can get open on the other side. Is all of these things happening, or is it just going to be about the noise that I'm going to walk away from on the sideline when he's screaming on one end?
And Damon, this is the first time too, a lot of these guys have had to deal with adversity. We've seen them lead when they're winning. It's easy to be a leader when you're winning, right? It's easy to do all that.
Yeah.
Real leaders show who they are in times of toughness. And right now, for probably the first time in their careers together, they're facing adversity during the regular season.
Yeah. And the players know, I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys know, I'm sure you guys are aware of it, and maybe some of the listeners don't understand the true depth of film study. There's a difference between watching film and studying film. And then there's a component of studying film that is accountability. Because I can get, you know, I was in a situation where, you know, in 1997, we played the Denver Broncos in the playoffs. I kicked the dude, got a penalty. Next play, they throw the ball to Ed McCaffrey. He runs down the sideline, like a 60-yard gain. They get in position to score. I can come to the sideline and scream and yell and complain and say, I didn't kick him. I didn't hit him. You know, that was bogus. He hit me first, blah, blah, blah. All of that stuff, which happens all the time. But you know what? Monday morning, when the film turns on, I got nothing. All I could do is be like, you know what? All those antics on the sideline, yeah, in the heat of the moment, Maybe I didn't realize it. Maybe I blacked out, all that stuff. But the accountability is right in front of me, as well as the other 52 guys, plus the practice squad guys that are watching this film.
Dana, before we let
that's
you get out
where,
of here.
That's where they are.
Before we get let you get out of here, do we need to audition kickers?
No. I'm going to give him some leeway. Harrison Butker's made some big kicks for us. I think he'll get back on track.
All right. Well, you got a big one versus Indiana this week, Danan. So you know what that guy says, Google me, and we'll find out if he Googled Iowa's score last week. Danan, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good call on Sunday at 3:25 in a dynamite matchup between the Ravens.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That is Danan Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer.
One word.
First name is Blank, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
I want to start One Word off with a text I just got from my friend Paul about his parents. And this is directed right at Dusty.
Hi, Paul.
Paul's on a plane. His parents are on a plane right now at the same time going to different places. He sends me this text. I said, where are your parents going? They're going to Long Island. Some friends gave him tickets to the Ryder Cup practice rounds.
Wow.
One word, Dusty.
Horny.
That's what I thought it would be. Yeah, I love it.
I know that I'm hard.
I've been watching it. I'm not a golfer, but this is America versus the world. Let's go, baby.
I mean,
USA.
Wrap yourself in the flag this weekend, baby. Bethpage Black.
How about that? Here's free tickets to a practice round at the Ryder Cup.
That's incredible.
I'd pay for those. Like,
that'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, man, I'd come back looking like that God Bless America guy. I'd have an American flag shirt.
Hello,
I'd have
America.
Statue of Liberty pants. I'd have, like, little glasses that said Home of the Free and the Brave.
Can you get that geeked up for the practice rounds, though?
Oh,
yeah, I think so. I think you can.
When we turn the TV on Friday morning, the Ryder Cup starts, and all of a sudden you see everybody out there, and it looks like America just...
It's going to be a mess. It's New York. It's America.
And
it's
get Brendan Shambly the hell out of here.
I mean, it's going to be wild there in Long Island. Like, I've been anticipating this for a while now, hearing about all the setup and everything that's been going on and the excitement and the New York aspect of this thing. Like, I just don't know what's going to happen, man. I think it's going to be awesome. That's really cool that they're going to that practice. Would you rather do that, the Masters, or, like, what would be the ultimate if I could get you practice round tickets? And I'm saying practice round because I'm cheap. If I get you practice round tickets to any golf outing, which one would it be?
Oh, it's Augusta.
Is it Augusta? Okay.
It's God's country.
One word, Monday Night Football.
Fumble.
111 points through three games for the Ravens. They have a losing record. First team to do that in NFL history.
Yeah, fumble. Because three times now this season, Derrick Henry has fumbled. And that's what I took away from last night. That guy can be had. That guy can be got. That guy can be stripped of the football. So go after it this week here in Kansas City. Three straight games. Two huge, costly fumbles for Derrick Henry. They can be 2-1 if Derrick Henry protects the football.
Could be 3-0.
Could be 3-0, yeah.
Electric. I think that game was as advertised. I mean, the over-under was, what, 53.5? They scored over 60. Both teams played, you know, at their capacity. I mean, Jared Goff looks like they figured it out after week one. They got beat by the Packers, then they beat the Bears, and they beat the Ravens. I mean, good for them. They get the Chiefs in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's like now we're 3 weeks since, like, they lost to a great Packers team that was ready, and it was a revenge game. They had more motivation than the Lions did that week. So, yeah, there's some reasons for
maybe
that.
Maybe the Chiefs lost to two great teams at the start of their season as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I think that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Combined record 6-0.
Yeah.
No, it is true. It is true. Just, yeah, the frustration for me would lie more on the Chiefs.
Sure.
I mean, you'd love to start with the Carolina Panthers at noon on Sunday in your opener. It's just where we are in life right now.
I'd love to have the Buffalo Bills schedule.
Yeah,
absolutely. We play in the West. They play in the East. It is what it is.
Yep, and a lot of people would have said that about our Chiefs a few years ago.
Yeah,
it's so
cyclical, you know? It really is.
It is, except for the AFC East has
East
always been
is always
hot
bad.
Ass.
But that's on them.
Yep.
I was listening to something yesterday, and they were talking about already replacing, you know, Daboll in New York and what they need to do. Look at all these coaches that are really coming on the scene now that are successful. They're guys that have done it before, man. Got to stop hiring these 35-year-old offensive coordinators. Harbaugh's got his team back. They will be fine in Las Vegas after they revamp that roster. You know, that's a good hire down there. all of these coaches that have done it before are the ones that are kind of having that success right now. It's hard to be a coach in the NFL.
It's hard to be a left tackle in the NFL. We talked about it for 4 months. We need one. We need one. We need one. Well, we got one. Josh Simmons, every metric, every advanced stat, everything. Big. He looks to be the guy. One word. I just put this in because I wanted to talk about it because we don't get to talk about him anymore because of everything else happening. One word on Josh Simmons.
I'm just going to use one word that I've got, a stud. It's hard to say an offensive lineman is a stud. It's easy to see that this guy's a stud.
Stud.
Yeah, I would say advertised. First round pick.
Who you talk to?
Yeah, true. First round pick. He's done his job. He obviously is. You see the metrics in the stats and the next gen stats. He's doing what he's supposed to do as left tackle, and it's his first year. He's played 3 games in the NFL. Imagine what this kid's going to look like in 2-3 years from now.
One word, Kelsey. Fans are now alleging that, or I guess insinuating that he was ticked off that last night about the coaching staff, about the play calls, about the lack of production.
You know what I'm ticked off about? You dropping a pass against the Eagles in the end zone.
Yep.
And enough with the play calls and the yelling and all of that kind of stuff. Now, unless you were yelling about Juwan Taylor.
Yeah, it is.
Which is my case. I think he was yelling about Juwan Taylor at that point in time. But over is the one word I'll use. You heard Danan. That's the nicest way Danan could say, play better.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to talk it, you got to walk it.
Yeah.
I would say the one word that describes Travis Kelce right now is pressure. I think this is his last game, and I think he wants everything to be perfect. And as we all know, we've all seen, it's not been perfect. And stress and time is starting to hit him a little bit differently, and he wants everything to be perfect. He wants to be a well-oiled machine. This is not a well-oiled machine. There's a lot of rust on this vehicle that needs to be knocked off. So my one word for Travis Kelce's antics would be pressure.
Yeah, that's a good one. But also, too, Travis needs to understand you're missing your top two wide receivers right now. Things will get better. We're just used to being able to replace anybody and anybody at any point in time. Well, that doesn't work anymore. And sometimes I think to myself, boy, I wish we would have gotten away from maybe some of these guys a little bit earlier so we don't have to talk about the decline of their careers, right? Here we are potentially talking about that decline of Travis Kelce's career, him yelling on the sidelines. I don't want to talk about that. I don't like that. I don't want him to have his last year be one that's like this and the way that it started with yelling on the sidelines for 3 years. So I'm putting out the jam to Travis Kelce right now. Stop. Just stop. Go out there and play. Calm down a little bit. I know things aren't working the way that you want, but you're not with a full complement of weapons at this point in time. Take a deep breath. Go out there. Use that emotion and energy in the right way, not the wrong way. Now, if you were yelling about Juwan Taylor, I'm all on your side about that one.
Still technically alive are the Kansas City Royals.
Hell yes, they are. They're going into tonight's game. Well, it's a West Coast game. Where does the Detroit-Cleveland get? It's an early game, yeah.
One word, potential last week of baseball for the Royals.
Fun. That's what you want. Anybody who's complaining about the Royals this year, I understand they set a playoff team, but we're going into the final 6 games and they're still technically alive for the playoffs. We begged for this 3 years ago. Now here we are. We got it. It's been a fun, interesting season for the Kansas City Royals.
My one word, which will piss a lot of people off, is alive.
Yeah.
They're not eliminated.
They're not.
Still there. Coming up on the other side, what are you more confident in? We'll give you 2 different sports, but one local team. That doesn't make sense. One local city, 2 different sports. We'll get what more confidence you have in either one of them here next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City sports.
What the hell was that?
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Well, we got a text from the text line that says 3rd Street to Unity Village and Lee's Summit is an absolute blank show.
Okay, because my wife texted me, too. There's a car facing the wrong way on the interstate right now. Must have hydroplaned. I'm like,
dang.
What is that weird stuff falling from the sky?
And every time it rains, guys, like, why?
Well, it hasn't rained like this, in the morning time in a while? Maybe I'm... just not.
No, I feel like it has recently.
Plus, there's always those new roads getting paved, so the oil's coming up.
There is
people
that.
Don't play that into effect. So just drive safe. Go slow. If you're late, tell your boss to shove it.
Seriously, you're there. You know, here's the alternative. I'm dead.
At least I'm not at Unity Village where I can't move my car because traffic is completely wrecked.
Wow.
So just drive safe. It is a slop pit out there today. What are you more confident is the question. The offense getting its kinks worked out or this defense?
I don't really think the defense has kinks. They're giving up 18 points a game. That's really freaking good in the NFL right now. I think we review this defense wrong, and was it Danan that wanted to talk about the dominance of the defense and we didn't get to it? I think we spent so much time talking about, you know, looking at, you know, the things that need to be fixed, which is the natural thing to do. We sometimes forget that this defense has played really, really good. There's nothing really to pick apart right now. Maybe you want a little bit better pass rush, but the numbers ultimately kind of speak for themselves with all of this, because you're looking at a defense right now that's given up less than 19 points a game and has been really good over the last couple of years. Get a couple of more sacks, a couple of more pressures from the front four, and I think we're talking about an exceptional defense right now in Kansas City. But the lack of offense and scoring right now, I think, has us all concerned. We're missing what this defense is truly doing.
Some numbers to give some sort of notion to this topic. The Chiefs in total yards on offense rank 17th. Passing yards, they rank 15th. Rushing yards, they rank 17th. And points, they're 21st. Mm. Defensively, total yards given up, they are 10th. Passing yards given up, they are 10th. Rushing yards given up, they are 18th. And points allowed, they are 9th. So almost not a complete flip, but the defense definitely outshining the offense. Mm-hmm. A top 10 defense and a bottom tier offense clearly right now. So I think this is interesting because I think the offense has more concerns. I think there are concerns on the defense. I think the pressure of the front four is one of them. I think that, you know, using the blitz packages a lot early on, which I'll explain a little bit later, while that kind of scares me, is a little bit of a concern. But again, you played Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts. I know it's Russell Wilson, and now you'll play Lamar Jackson. You are going to play, I mean,
it's four Hall of Fame quarterbacks, basically, right?
I mean, Russ is probably going to get in.
He's getting in, yeah. As bad as it, on. Like, he should have retired a long time ago.
It's, but, like, we played Shaq on the Celtics, right? Like, right. We didn't play
right.
Shaq.
Right.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. But he's still, he's still a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes. And yeah, he's just a, he's a,
he just stinks. He's a goalpost.
He's a fig tree that's no longer fruitful. Like, there's just nothing growing on that fig tree anymore. To give reference to the book of the world.
I mean, that guy threw in the last drive there around the goal line, he threw into the tunnel and then hit the crossbar.
It's crazy.
He had four atrocious plays literally in a row.
It was so bad.
We want Dart. Mentally, you know, you just got to ride. You know, you got to be a good. But again, Jalen Hurts wasn't great. Your defense kind of kept him under wraps. We'll see about Lamar Jackson when he comes to town at 325 on Sunday. Herbert kind of carved you up a little bit, and the defense they adjusted.
Yeah,
right?
They did.
So, the offense, I have more concerns with because your offensive line, your receivers. Yeah, we're all excited to see the receivers come back, but do we expect, like, first game back, we're going to see everybody on, you know, where they're at? I mean, there's going to be concerns with that.
Sure.
Will Xavier Worthy be a little gun shy? I mean, I would think that with a torn labrum being 170 pounds, seeing how these defensive players play, you know, there might be a play or two when we see Xavier Worthy come back where it's over the middle and it's dropped because it's like he saw or heard those footsteps coming in and that labrum's in the back of his mind. So there's concerns there for me. The running game is lost. It's where's Waldo? I don't even know. I have no idea where the running game is. I get it. They did better last week, but I need more of that. So, like, I think with Spags and this defensive unit, I think they know what they have right now. And luckily, but unluckily for them, Jalen Hurts, mobile, Lamar Jackson, mobile, Russell Wilson, not as mobile, but can be. You can kind of use a similar game plan week in and week out for those guys. Whereas the offense, like, everybody's defense has a different scheme every single week. I know offenses do as well, but quarterback wise, you can play similar to those talents around the other quarterbacks you play. But with the defense, I have more confidence in that. Kind of getting their kinks out, because eventually, like, the front four is just gonna get pressure. There's no way they can be this bad all year. Maybe there is, but I'd have to think that, you know, maybe some guys will get opportunities, and then in-house competition works. Allow that to work. Let Gelati, let Lott get in there. Take Dana out there. Take Omenihu out there. Hey, you guys are veterans, but guess what? These hungry kids behind you, they're gonna give me a better chance until you can prove it to me. So, like Dana said, you know, talk with your mouth, you know, my eyes see if you're working with your body language and your work ethic on the field. So I do have more confidence in this defense than I do right now in this offense.
Well, and I think right now the confidence for me in the offense can all be figured out if the offensive line plays better. That's where it ultimately lies to me. All of these other guys, whether it's the running backs or the wide receivers or the quarterbacks, they're all impacted by the offensive line. And until the offensive line starts playing better, guys, it's hard for me to criticize anybody else. And I really walked away kind of from that Giant game and thinking about it yesterday. This offensive line right now is not good. It just isn't. And we like the names of the guys on the offensive line. We've paid the guys on the offensive line. It's no longer just Juwan Taylor. It really isn't. And it's not the left tackle. He's been a stud
awesome.
For this team. He's the third best offensive tackle right now in the NFL, according to Nerds. And so the problem is the interior and the guys that we like the most. And the guys that we like the most have to play like the guys that we like the most. I need to get better performances from the left or from the right guard and from the center, Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. Until those five guys on the offensive line, fellas, play better, I have a hard time saying Andy needs to have better play calls. The running backs aren't doing the job that they need to do. The wide receivers aren't getting open. There has been so much pressure on Patrick Mahomes this year, and he's constantly having to evolve his game to do something completely different than he did a year ago because of the weapons that are given to him. That's why I don't think he's getting enough credit this year for how good he's been playing right now.
Yes.
I mean, this offensive line right now, until those guys are playing better football, it all falls on deaf ears for me. It's a challenge to the offensive line this week. Step up your play. Step up your play and be the $65 million guard. Be the $65 million center.
Yeah, hey, Juwan Taylor even, I know he's when he blocks, he actually does it well, but hey, stop being penalized.
Stop
You're the
being
second
penalized.
Biggest cap hit on this team.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Yeah,
right, exactly. Stop being penalized. And are those guys trying to fill in for Juwan Taylor and play differently because they don't trust Juwan?
I don't care.
Well, hang on a second. I'm with you. I don't care. They got to play better. They can't worry about him. But if it's subconsciously having an impact on all of them, that's why you have to make that change at right tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because if Juwan Taylor's going out there and he's false starting, but it's causing Travis Kelce to lose his mind on the sidelines, and it's causing the center and the right guard to say, we gotta worry about this guy coming off the edge. So our job, like if his performance is having a detrimental effect on everybody else, that's a big reason why you need to make that change. You need to get him out of there so everybody else can go about their day.
Make that change.
Well, and I guess that's what the question comes down to, right? You're talking D-line, O-line, which you're more confident in. Basically, that's what we're coming to. The crux of this conversation, offense or defense, okay, well, it's in the trenches, basically what we're saying. You guys have more confidence in the defensive line, basically figuring that out. I would go the opposite. I have more confidence in Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and Andy Heck and those guys figuring it out. They've got Josh Simmons. Kingsley's a question mark, but I like Caliendo and Jalen Moore could maybe step in there as well. I do not have confidence.
Will they, though? I mean, we've seen them be very kind of slow. Like, I would have pulled Juwan Taylor after last week.
Oh, I would have, too. No, right? This team.
I pulled him after last year.
We've seen this team do that with the coaching staff, with the roster. They are loyal to a fault.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
And it's part of the reason we've seen this roster deteriorate a little bit. But, yeah, I don't have confidence in the defensive line figuring it out
at all.
I think this is going to be one of the worst pressure by four. One of the worst teams that can pressure with four in the league.
Well, and that may ultimately end up being their calling card, right? They just have to blitz and they get to the quarterback and they give up less than 20 points a game and they win, right? That may be what they are. And again, it goes back to the parent analogy. We may be trying to get our kids to be A-plus students, but really they're B students, and that's okay. We can facilitate and figure things out and still have one hell of a life after that. Bs are still pretty good, right? To me, the defensive line, I don't want to say I'm giving a free pass to or anything like that, but I got two rookies out there right now that I know nothing about. By this time, you know, at the end of November, maybe we're talking about those two guys being studs along that defensive line, and it changes our line of thinking. That's why there's no absolutes after 3 weeks or anything like that. Juwan Taylor's been a couple of years right now. This offense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Line, guys, is not just this year bad. Creed and Trey weren't great last year either. And we blame the left tackle. And we blame the right tackle. We've got a new left tackle in place right now. He's been outstanding. The rest of the guys play like the rookies playing.
Coming up next, Bob Gets Raw here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.